Well, as we quickly approach the beginning of another new year, I'm once again taken back at the brevity of life. The Bible asks this question, what is our life? And then immediately the answer is given. It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. To those of you that have lived a few years on this earth now, know that to be so. Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And I very often take the words of David to be my own. He said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Have you seen how frail you are? Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. So again, being reminded of the brevity of life and the frailty we as human beings have, I have given a great deal of thought as to what I could give you this morning from the Word of God that would encourage you for not only the upcoming year, but as well the rest of your life. Our days are in His hands, and it's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. And I'm not much on New Year's resolutions. I don't know that I've ever kept one of them, but it just reiterates to my own mind that we don't put any confidence in ourselves, do we? And in my 65 years, soon to be 66, I've learned this much. All my confidence is in the Lord who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to tell you about a man in the scripture that you may have never heard of before. His name is Jabez. If you would turn with me to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 and 2 Samuel, and then 1 and 2 Kings, and then you'll find right after that 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'll give you a moment to find that. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 9. While you're turning, let me say that this whole chapter is given to the listing of the chronological descendants of Judah. But in verse 9, the Holy Spirit inspires the writer, many who think to be the prophet Ezra, to pause and say something about one man in particular, and that man is Jabez. Verse 9 reads, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. The name Jabez, sorrowful. The first sentence in verse 10 says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. And then notice the last sentence of that verse. It says, and God granted him, that being Jabez, that which he requested. This man Jabez had his prayer answered. God granted Jabez his request. Oh, that God would grant us and enable us to pray to him who loved us and gave himself for us. Jabez was more honorable than all these others mentioned. And as you can see, the names go on and on in this chapter. But I believe he's found to be more honorable because he was more prayerful than his brethren. And in verse 10, we find four petitions that Jabez's prayer consisted of. So I make this prayer my prayer for you and for me as we enter into this year 2022. And I ask that the Lord may be pleased to grant us this request. Four things I want us to look at, found in verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now, I first want to point out who it was that Jabez cried out to. He cried out 2, and he petitioned the one and the only true God, the God of Israel. This speaks of God in the heavens, he who hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He is a sovereign, almighty God, and he has the power and the ability to grant requests. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Did you see that? Not a God, not some God, but the God. There's only one God, only one, the sovereign God of heaven and earth. And I hear many today speak of God, but he doesn't resemble the God of this Bible. This is the God that Isaiah spoke of when he said, "But the Lord's hand is not shortened." And it's not. It says the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So it's very important for each of us to know that God saves and delivers sinners for one reason. You know what that reason is? For Christ's sake. That's the reason. I have a high priest who takes my prayers to God. And that high priest is none other than God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's for his sake that God grants my request. James explained that men and women have not because they ask not. And when they ask, they receive not because they ask amiss. They ask for the reason to consume their request upon their lust. Most of the time, men and women pray for material, temporal things instead of spiritual, eternal things. God's word here declares that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. The Lord Jesus said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And we've got a lot of people saying, "Lord, Lord," today, just like those did in the day of judgment. But then they follow that up with, Haven't we done this? Haven't we done that? Haven't we done many wonderful works?" And the Lord said unto them very specifically, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Your works of your so-called righteousness are works of iniquity. He said, "I never knew you." We pray unto the God of Israel. Jabez drew nigh with his heart. And because of that, he was found more honorable. Now that word "called" there in verse 10 means cried. His name, as we've already established, meant sorrowful. You know, the wise man Solomon said concerning our sin, "Sorrow is better than laughter," and it most certainly is. And as you know, Solomon's father, King David, David the psalmist, he said, "It was good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn. That I might learn thy statutes," that being God's appointments. Have you seen that it's good for you when God afflicts you, when God sends trouble? One who never sees their sin and never sees their need will never cry out to God for help. The Lord was very specific about that. Those who are well have no need of a physician. We live in a day of spiritual self-sufficiency. Those who shall mourn over their sin, cry out over their sin and their inability, shall be comforted. For whosoever shall cry upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's what the word of God says. And we have no reason to doubt it and every reason to believe it. And I remind you that that verse in Romans 10:13 doesn't say, "If the elect shall call upon the name of the Lord." Doesn't say that at all. "If the elect shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved." But it says, "Whosoever shall call." And I love that word. I don't know why folks think that those who believe in election and in the sovereignty of God hate that word, "whosoever." I love that word. You know why? Because I am a whosoever. And so are you. "Whosoever shall call." And whoever does call is the elect of God. Now, I want you to look again very closely at verse 10. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Now, those two words there, "oh, that," in my Bible's marginal reference, is said to mean, "if thou wilt." "Lord, if thou wilt, bless me indeed." This request for blessing from Jabez, and every request for blessing for that matter, is given at the Lord's discretion. We need to learn that. God is a sovereign God. He blesses according to His discretion. The Lord doesn't have to bless us. God is not required to bless us. Christ said, "Is it not lawful? Is it not right for me to do what I will with my own?" Well, you better believe it is. God said, "This is my glory. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy." God's not obligated to bless us. Why do people think that? We live in such an entitled world today. God's not obligated to bless us. God's not required to answer our prayers. God does what He pleases. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased. Can you finish that verse? Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He. The Lord does what He pleases. He does it in heaven and in earth and in the seas and in all deep places. Men and women better learn who God is. Men and women better learn how to pray. In Luke chapter 18, two men went up to the temple to pray. You remember that story. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican. The Pharisee that went into the temple, he didn't know how to pray. The scripture, matter of fact, says he prayed thus with himself. In other words, he prayed just to hear himself talk. I hear a lot of men pray that way. They pray these long, flowery prayers, and God didn't hear them. They just pray in order to hear themselves talk. But God didn't hear this Pharisee. He prayed, "God, I thank You. I'm not like other men. I'm glad that I'm not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as that publican standing there in the back." He talked about all that he did, but not the publican. He stood far off. He wouldn't even so much as lift his eyes unto heaven. He smote upon his breast in sorrow, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner that I am." That's the kind of prayer God hears. That's a man that God heard. That's a man that received mercy. That's a man that went home to his house justified. "For he that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." I love that story in Matthew chapter 8 of that leper that came to Christ. "And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." This man fell down before the Lord in sorrow. He was dying. He was in bad, bad shape. He was a leper. Luke's account says that he was full of leprosy. He's in the ending stages of this horrible disease. Leprosy in Scripture, as you know, is a very accurate picture of sin. While leprosy to the non-observing eye is at first unnoticeable, it begins with a small spot or discoloration, and it gives no cause for warning, but in the end, it brings terrible results. So it is with sin. Sin brings the same result as leprosy, and that's certain death. Leprosy, secondly, is highly contagious. So is sin. We were all born with this inward corruption called sin. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Leprosy actually began with little or no pain. A man could have leprosy and not even know that he had it. Only in its later stages do these painful effects come to full fruition. Sin, too, is so subtle that at first we're unconscious of it. No wonder it's called the deceitfulness of sin. It's not until the Spirit of God begins to convict the carrier of the disease that the leprosy of sin is made conscious of its crippling work. Leprosy spreads rapidly. A study of leprosy reveals that it begins with small spots and discolorations of the skin, but it rapidly increases in size until the whole body is affected. And it's the same with sin. What a picture leprosy is. The outward effect and result is due to an inward cause. Paul said, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing," Romans 7:18. The heart, the mind, the conscience, the spirit, the soul, and body are equally poisoned by our spiritual leprosy called sin. Leprosy was loathsome detestable, rotting flesh, sores that oozed, that scabbed and cracked. Oh, my cartilage and nerves exposed, appendages half gone. It was not uncommon to see a man with his nose missing or an ear missing, bones showing through the flesh that had rotted away. That's disgusting, Brother David. No more disgusting and loathsome than sin is in the eyes of a thrice holy God. Leprosy was often accompanied by blindness, causing the affected one to grope in darkness and cry, "Unclean, unclean." And again, is this not an accurate picture of the sinner? David said in Psalm 38, verse 7, "For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there's no soundness in my flesh." Sin is loathsome, detestable. No matter how horrific and repulsive the leper looked to another, our sin is even more despicable to God. As detestable as leprosy was, it doesn't begin to compare to our sin. Leprosy also brought forth banishment. According to the Levitical law, no leper was allowed to remain in the congregation of Israel. Sin causes alienation. Did you know that? Sin has alienated us from the life of God through the ignorance that's in us. Ephesians 4:18. Only the work of redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ for the sinner will bring nigh the sinner who was once far off, as Scripture says, alienated from God, without hope in this world, by their spiritual leprosy. And leprosy was naturally incurable. The cure of this disease was beyond all human aid, and it was fatal, as we've already established. No cure for it. Not by man. And sin is naturally incurable. There's no human remedy for sin. None. Death is the wages of sin, and unless a miracle of God's grace be done to the chosen sinner, eternal death is for certain. Now, this man that came to the Lord was full of leprosy. But his concern for healing of this horrific disease was not if the Lord could heal him. His concern was if the Lord would heal him. You see, the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could think or ask. He can. This leper came and said, "Lord, if you will, you can heal me. I know you can." Have you heard of the Lord Jesus? Have you heard what he can do for leprosy-ridden sinners? Is he willing? Thank God he is. Jabez, that's exactly what he's saying. "Lord God of Israel, if you will, if you would be pleased, bless me indeed." Now let's don't skip over that word "indeed" too quickly. Men and women today say, "God, I'll let you save me. God, I've decided to let you have your way. God, I've willed to give you my heart." You know, that kind of talk is offensive to God. Is God dependent upon us to let him save us? Perish in thought. Now, I want to ask you a very serious question. I've asked myself this. I can truly say yes to it. If the Lord sent you to hell, is he still worthy of your worship? This leper didn't know what the Lord Jesus would do. Maybe he would heal him, maybe he wouldn't. But he still worshiped him. That's what Job said, "Though he," God, "slay me, yet will I trust him." He's worthy to be worshipped. The first of the four requests that Jabez makes unto the Lord God of Israel is, "Oh, that if you will, I beg that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And when Jabez says, "Bless me indeed," what he's saying there is, "Bless me as only you can bless me. Bless me as only you, the God of heaven, the sovereign God of heaven and earth, the one who spoke the worlds into existence. Bless me as only you can bless me." You know, there's nothing comparable to God's blessings. It's not our prayer that saves us, but the grace of God that prompts this. If you pray for help, God's already given you life. It's the choice of God that appoints it. Christ said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you." It's the bounty of God that provides the blessing. Our faithfulness to God doesn't provide it. It's not our faith that blesses us. It's Christ's faithfulness to us that does. Those whom God blesses are blessed indeed. It's wonderful to be blessed by our parents. I wanted to please my parents. I wanted to have my parents' blessing. It's wonderful to be blessed by others. So humbling when someone does something kind for you. But only God can bless with authority. Only God's blessings are always effectual. Our blessings to one another fall short, but not His. No, He that created the world can bless you indeed. My prayer for you and me is that the Lord Jesus bless us indeed, as only He can bless. You know, who received the true blessing of God? That poor beggar Lazarus, or that rich man who fared sumptuously? Maybe I should ask it this way. Who received the spiritual, eternal blessing? Was it not the beggar Lazarus? Both men died. The beggar was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. Who was blessed? The rich man cried, "Send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame." And you remember what Abraham said? Abraham said, "All your life you received good things, but Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and you're tormented." That beggar named Lazarus was blessed indeed. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about the true spiritual blessings that every child of God has. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Only God can bless us with spiritual blessings. Only God can bless us with life eternal and perfect righteousness. And all of these spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, no other place. "According as He hath chosen us in Him," Christ, "before the foundation of the world, before you and I had done anything good or anything evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand." If God had not chosen us first, we would have never chosen Him. Paul went on to say that we should be holy. You know what that is? That's sanctification. That's God setting a sinner apart and making them as holy as Christ Himself is. We're made holy. And then Paul goes on to say that we should be without blame before Him in love. That's justification. Such a blessing indeed. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Friends, that's salvation. These are spiritual blessings. They're only found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can't provide them for yourself. Not sanctification, not justification, not salvation. Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's who we need to get to. That's who we need to trust in. That's being blessed indeed. "To the praise and the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." What a blessing that is. Christ is God's beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Now listen, in order for you to be saved, God Himself had to become a man and shed His blood in order to save you from your sin. That's being blessed indeed. What a blessing the forgiveness of sin is, especially when we see that it was the blood of God that redeemed us and put our sin away. These are spiritual, eternal blessings. They come only from God. And that's what it is to be blessed indeed. Now, the second request that Jabez made was that the Lord enlarge his coast. Do you see that? Now, Jabez is thought by many Bible historians to be among those who went into the land of Canaan, the land of promise, with Joshua, who had a portion of land assigned to him. It wouldn't be out of order for him to ask the Lord to give him ample room to dwell. "Lord, enlarge our coast." But I believe that he's asking here for much more than that. I believe he's asking the Lord here to enlarge the coast of his narrow heart. What is a coast? Well, a coast is a boundary. Coasts are limitations. Jabez is saying, I've got some boundaries. Because of my sin nature, I've got limitations. Lord, enlarge these boundaries and these limitations. Enlarge my coast. Not enlarge my bank account, not enlarge my home, but enlarge my ability to love and trust you. Friends, you and I have limitations. Our abilities are limited. By nature, we can't believe. We can't repent. We will not come to Christ. Lord, expand our boundaries. Take away our limitations. Enlarge our love to others. Enlarge our joy, our peace, our ability to forgive. I need enlargement there. I need great help in that area. Enlarge our humility, our meekness, our gentleness. Expand our esteem for others. Expand our faithfulness and our zeal and our servitude. Enlarge our thoughtfulness. Lord, enlarge our coast. That's my prayer for you, and that's my prayer for me. Thirdly, Jabez prayed, "Let thy hand be with me." Jabez here is asking the Lord for his presence. Lord, I need your presence. I need your presence on the cross as my substitute and my sacrifice for sin. I need your presence before the holy law of God, doing for me what I cannot do for myself. Lord, I need your presence before God so that I can come boldly into his throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. Are you in need of mercy? Are you in need of help? Are you in need? I need his presence. Lord, I need your presence on the day of judgment as my mediator and my advocate before God. I need someone to stand in my place and to plead my cause before the holy judge of heaven and earth. I need that. Oh, I need, Lord, enlarge my coast. Teresa and I got a new puppy a little over a year ago. That little dog follows Teresa everywhere she goes. At first, I was a bit jealous, but I've gotten over it. Teresa is her master. Why? She ought to be. She feeds her. She gives her water. She takes her outside. She cleans up after her. And that dog is totally dependent on Teresa. And when Teresa leaves the house, that little dog will sit right there at the door that she goes out, and it'll just wait, sitting there just looking at the door, like, when's she coming back? Teresa is that little dog's life. That dog lives to be in Teresa's presence. Now, let me tell you, I want that to be said of me. I'm a dog. Like Mephibosheth, I'm a dead dog sinner. The Lord is my master. He feeds me. He gives me the water of life to drink. He provides my every need. He rescued me from the clutches of death. Lord, I am a dog. Let your presence be with me, the dog that I am, that I might follow you all the days of my life. Lord, I'm just a dog, but let me eat the crumbs from your table. Let your presence be with me that I might follow you all the days of my life. Then the last thing that Jabez requested of the Lord is that God would keep him from evil, that it may not grieve him. Now what Jabez is saying here is, don't let me be tempted with evil. He's presupposing something of his own nature here. Jabez is praying that God lead him not into temptation. Why? Because he knows. He knows this much about himself, that if God lead him into temptation, he will fail and he will fall. And so will we. Our Lord, when teaching his disciples how to pray, said, "And lead us not into temptation." Pray this way. Ask God not to lead you into temptation, but to deliver you from evil. The time for us to cry out to God is before we're tempted. Why? Because a true believer knows that they're weak and frail. Teach me, Lord, to see my own frailty, my own inability. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Maybe the Lord will answer that prayer. There's no safety for the soul except under the shadow of his wings. I think I told you that story about a big storm brewing up in Rocky Mount, Virginia one time. Paul and Mindy Mahan had a small little farm there, and they had chickens. The storm came, and they looked all over for the chickens, and finally they found the mother hen, but the little chicks were gone. And they picked that hen up, and as they did, those little chicks fell out from beneath her wings. Lord, keep me under the shadow of your wings. No wonder our Lord said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." You see, friends, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's why the Lord Jesus came into the world. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, are you listening? Condemned sin in the flesh. The law was weak through the flesh because this flesh couldn't keep it. If Christ doesn't save me, I won't be saved. If Christ doesn't keep me, I won't be kept. And I just love the last line in this verse. It's stated with such a matter of fact and certainty. Look at it. The Lord granted him, that being Jabez, that which he requested. When has any humble soul ever cried unto God in vain? It's my prayer for you and for me that as Jabez called upon the God of Israel, the God, not a God, not some God, not the God of our imagination, not the God that we've conjured up, who we think to be altogether one like ourselves, but the God, the only true and living God, that we may pray to him, that he grants our request. He can. He's certainly able. He certainly seems to be willing. May the Lord of heaven and earth enlarge our coast. May he bless us indeed as only he can bless us. May the Lord enable us to comprehend with all the saints the length and the breadth and the depth and the height and to know the love of Christ which passes all understanding. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me. May God's hand and his presence always be with us, keeping us from temptation and delivering us from evil. And I tell you this, you can be assured of this fact, that for Christ's sake, God hears our prayers, God answers our prayers, and God grants us what we request of him. Lord, make it so for your glory, for our good, and for Christ's sake. Amen.